Okay, we'll just slide right into this and go on. The next one in your notes is the word halal. All right, this is on the next page, which says Hebrew words translated praise continued. Number one is halal, which is celebration praise. And this also is it's another verb. And of the seven words that are translated praise in the King James, this one, as Dave mentioned, is the one that is the most often used in Scripture. But, and this is very interesting, it's also the one that we see the least of in the church. It's the one that's most often used in Scripture, but the one we see the least of, or the one that we see the least demonstrated in the church. It means to shine, to celebrate, to boast, and to show forth, and to be clamorously foolish before the Lord. That last bit, by the way, is from Strong's Hebrew Dictionary. Some of the other lexicons don't bring that out. And we had a professor in Bible college that developed his own definition for halal. His theological definition for halal was to go bananas before the Lord. Right. Now, some words that are associated with the halal expression of praise are enthusiasm. Enthusiasm, extravagance, and exuberance. All right, these are all words that are associated with the halal expression of praise. And there's more. One reason that I think we don't see so much halal type of praise in the church is that there's more of a release required on our part to move into that expression of praise than, for example, in the Todah or the Yada expression of praise. And I think that the reason that we don't see so much of it is because we're not free, or we're not as free as we'd like to think we are. And so we tend to sort of slip into sort of the more quiet expressions of biblical expressions of praise, and we tend to avoid the ones that require extravagance or enthusiasm or exuberance on our part, because you have to be really free to flow into that, don't you? Right, we'll go on. All right. One scholar has said that at its finest, halal, this is a quote, you can fill in the blanks, halal is the continual effervescent joy of the true worshiper. Okay, the continual effervescent joy of the true worshiper. Now, you know how Dave talked about Tehillim actually coming from the root of Tehillim, that residual song of the Lord that just flows out of us, that the root of that word is actually halal, right? And if halal is at its finest, that continual effervescent joy that's inside of us, then it makes sense that the product of that is this song of the Lord that just flows out of us as we yield to His Spirit. All right? This is number one under E. Joyful lips, and that's Psalm 63:5, and song, Psalm 69:30, were and are common manifestations of this form of praise. Joyful lips, Psalm 63:5, and song, Psalm 69:30, just as examples, were and are common manifestations of halal praise. All right, because that joy is flowing out. Now, biblically, this is really interesting now. Biblically, halal was a main component of festival worship. In other words, Feast of Tabernacles, Passover, etc., etc. Halal was a main component of festival worship in the Old Testament, and it was given in response to liturgical command. In other words, it was given to the Lord in response to his command. It was given out of obedience, not as a result of feelings or emotions. All right? And so halal was given and offered and carried out with or without goosebumps. How many times, you know, throughout the Psalms do we see the psalmist or read, you know, the psalmist saying, I will praise the Lord. Yet will I praise the Lord. And it's halal. Yet will I do it. I will. It was the result of God's command, not the result of emotion and feeling, which was kind of an interesting thing. I think he wants all of us to come to a point where we have a determination in our hearts that we will praise him extravagantly regardless of the circumstances or our feelings. And we all come to that place sooner or later where we have to make a choice. Am I going to offer God what's due him, regardless of how I feel or regardless of what I'm in the middle of, or not? And I'm reminded just now of, is it the end of Hosea? No. One of the minor prophets. Though there be no cattle in the stall or food on the vine, yet will I praise him. That's a picture of God wanting to bring us to that place where, regardless of what it is, in response to his desire and his command, we'll say yes, no matter what's going on around me, yet will I halal him. All right. Then this is interesting too, the word hallelujah. Okay, we say that all the time, especially over, you know, in the States, you get in these black churches and it's like every other word is hallelujah, brother, you know. And so we hear it a lot in the church, more in some places than others. But the word actually means halal you, the Lord. Yah was another name for God in the Old Testament. And so the command, it's a command there. Halal you, the Lord, or you, halal the Lord. You, halal the Lord. That's what hallelujah means. And so that was the divine command that we see coming forth through the Psalms. Hallelujah, halal the Lord, you and you and you, right? All right. So to capsulize, we'll just say here that halal is a heart attitude which extravagantly celebrates, boasts, or raves about Jehovah. A heart attitude which extravagantly celebrates, boasts, or raves about Jehovah, and it paints a picture of the kind of behavior that we often see at the football match or at a Bon Jovi concert. But it's meant to be in the church. All right, let's go on. Who is to halal the Lord? Well, as we go through the Old Testament, we find that, first of all, that the priests were to halal the Lord. That's 1 Chronicles 23, verses 27 through 30, and a whole bunch of other ones. We won't go into those because we're short on time. But also, we find that over and over, the psalmist said, I will. I will hallel the Lord. And then we find that the afflicted and the needy are called to hallel the Lord. That's Psalm 74:21. We find all nations are called to hallel the Lord. That's Psalm 117, verse 1. And it gets better. Then we find that all heaven and earth are called to hallel the Lord. And finally, it gets even better. All who breathe. All who breathe are called to hallel the Lord. All right. Now, how about when? When are we to hallel the Lord? Well, as we study the scriptures, we find that the priests were called to do it morning and evening. All right. We're priests unto God. 1 Chronicles 23 again. Then we also find that David said he would do it 7 times a day, not just morning and evening, but 7 times a day. That's Psalm 119:64. And finally, we find we're called to hallel continually as long as we live in Psalm 146, verse 2. So we've kind of moved from morning and evening to, heck, let's just do it all the time. All right, then where to hallel? Well, we find that we're to hallel in the sanctuary or the tabernacle or the temple, 1 Chronicles 23 again, 2 Chronicles 5:13. We're to hallel in the congregation or in the assembly, Psalm 22, verse 22. In the assembly of the elders, that's Psalm 107. And finally, among the multitudes. That means out in the street. That's Psalm 109, verse 30. And I think this is really important, that hallel is not meant to be a private expression. One of the places that we don't find it saying we are meant to hallel is hidden in the prayer closet, right? Or alone in our living room where no one can see us. Okay? He calls us to hallel in the congregation, in the assembly, in the sanctuary, and among the multitudes, out on the street. It's meant to be not a private expression of praise, but a public one. Just as David danced before the Lord with all his might, and looked completely foolish to his wife, God asks us to boast and to rave about him and to celebrate his goodness with utter abandon before all the multitudes. Not just in front of other Christians, but anywhere that we are. And maybe this is one thing that Paul had in mind when he talked about being a fool for Christ. Because I think when we find the freedom to get to the place to really hallel the Lord wherever we are, no matter where we are, no matter who's around, we'll probably have that label put on us. And we'll understand maybe what Paul was talking about when he was talking about being a fool for Christ. All right, how to hallel? Psalm 109:30, with our mouths, is one way. With singing and instruments, that's 2 Chronicles 5:13, and Psalm 150. With dancing and instruments, in Psalm 149. Those are just a few ways that are mentioned. Sorry? Oh, okay. Did you get the first one? With our mouths, Psalm 109, verse 30. with singing and instruments, 2 Chronicles 5:13, Psalm 150, with dancing and instruments, Psalm 149, verse 3. Okay, those are just a few ways that we can halal the Lord that are mentioned in the scriptures, but truthfully, we may halal the Lord through any number of expressions, whether it be with our voices, with our bodies, or with instruments. All right? Let's go on. The next one, this is number 6, but number 2 in your notes, is Barak. And there's a couple of different spellings there for it, which we have in your notes, which is adoration praise. This is, again, is another verb. It's most often translated to bless, as Dave mentioned. And sometimes it's translated as to kneel. And it's only translated as the general word praise 2 times in the Old Testament. It implies a submission, as in bowing or kneeling before the Lord. Some of the sources, resources that you'll, some of the lexicons and things that you look at describe Barak as a primary root, but others indicate that it's actually derived from another word, Berek, B-E-R-E-K, which means to bend the knee. And that the word came generally to mean praise because God's people often knelt on such occasions. All right. Now, this is interesting. The same word is used for God blessing us. You know, most of the time this word is translated to bless. And the same word is used when it talks about God blessing us. And the thing that I think is important here is that there's a picture that we see of a reciprocal relationship with the Lord. You know, have you ever had a boyfriend or a girlfriend and you felt like you were the only one trying? You know, that you were the only one giving in this relationship? You were the only one who was making any effort, and you were the give, 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 and the other person was take, take, take? Have you ever been in a relationship like that? And I think what's so beautiful about Barak being used both in God blessing us and us blessing God is that it paints this picture of a beautiful reciprocal relationship between us and the Lord. It's not one-sided. We bless him and he blesses us. He blesses us and we bless him as we barak him. All right. We'll go on to see a few of the passages that we find in the Old Testament where barak is enjoined or demonstrated. You can just make a note of these. And these are just a few. Psalm 16, verse 7. Psalm 72, verse 15, Psalm 95, verse 6, and Psalm 26, verse 12. Now the question arises, how often are we called to praise him this way? And Psalm 72, 15 tells us daily. Daily are we to barak or bless, or come into that place of submission, submitting our hearts before the Lord and blessing him on a daily basis. You know how we talked about these things being sort of heart attitudes that can be expressed in a lot of different ways? I can have that heart attitude while I'm washing my dishes, or while I'm hoovering, or while even sometimes, you know, while I'm doing other things where I have to think. we can still have that heart attitude of bowing our heart before the Lord and praising him. All right. Oftentimes, this is interesting. Oftentimes in Barak praise, no words are spoken. Judson Cornwall calls it the "be still and know that I am God" form of praise. I thought that was really good. He calls it the "be still and know that I am God" form of praise. And it often involves waiting quietly in his presence for him to work, or quietly bowing in adoration, or bowing our hearts in adoration before him. And I have just a little comment to make here. You know, we all come from different streams and traditions and backgrounds. And for some of us, the exuberant halal type of praise is very uncomfortable and threatening because we're not used to it. For others of us who may have come from more of a Pentecostal background, silence is more threatening than anything else. We can't stand for there to be silence. We have to fill every gap and say something or do something. And I think we need to recognize that all of these expressions and these heart attitudes that we see throughout the Old Testament are not only biblical but valid, and not only valid, but they're all things that God calls us to in different times and different seasons and places and situations. And I think that he wants us to be comfortable with all of them and not be threatened by any of them. And as we yield to him in all these different ways, I think we'll find that he does different things in our hearts. You know, remember at some point we talked about moods of the Holy Spirit and how God is always in a particular time and a particular place. God has a purpose and a timing and a season for everything. You know, there's a time for peace and a time for war and a time to love and a time for this and that. And so at any particular time and place, there's something that God wants to do in our hearts. And so as we yield to him in whatever way he is convicting or pulling upon our hearts at that time, he'll do something different in our hearts. You know, we tend to sort of flow in the same thing all the time. You know, we'll flow in the Todah kind of praise because that's where we're comfortable. But if we can sort of allow him to pull us out of our comfort zone into flowing into some of these other kinds of heart attitudes and expression of praise, we'll find God doing new and different things in our hearts. So, anyway, the final point here under Barak is that we can Barak the Lord as we kneel. We can Barak the Lord as we bow before him, or as we prostrate ourselves before him, or as we stand and simply bow our hearts before him. So there's many expressions of Barak. And a lot of times it may be an inward expression more than an outward one. Because it's an attitude of the heart, and it's something that's taking place inside of us. And it can be expressed a lot of different ways. All right, the third one that we want to just mention and close really quickly here is Shabak. And this is extolling praise. And it also is a verb. It's a primary root which is used in two different ways. The first way, it can mean to still or to soothe. And it's used two times that way in the Old Testament. It can also mean, to extol, to commend, to glorify, to glory in, or triumph in. To extol, to commend, to glorify, to glory in, or to triumph in. All right. Now, these two ways that it can be used seem really different, don't they? It's like, eh? How can the same word mean both those things? And how do you know which way it's used when? And so I thought of an English example, Dave helped me out. He thought of an English example that might be helpful in understanding this. Like the verb run, okay? We can use the verb run in a lot of different ways. It can mean all the parts are working properly, as in a computer, right? My computer is running. That means all the parts are working the way they're supposed. Well, I didn't say your computer. Dave's computer is not running. But mine's doing all right. All right, which means all the parts are working properly when you say it's running, right? You can also, it can also mean to move quickly when you're talking about a human being running. Okay, their legs are working and pumping, and they are moving very quickly somewhere from point A to point B. It can also mean to flow. Like when you say a river is running, it has a picture of flowing, which is different than all the parts working together. It doesn't mean when you say the river is flowing, it doesn't mean that all its parts are working. And it doesn't mean that its legs are going real quick from point A to point B, all right? So run can mean all these different things. And in English, we only can know the way that it's meant by the context, because English is kind of that kind of language, all right? But in Hebrew, we don't have to guess at which way it's meant to be used like we do in English. In the Hebrew, we can tell by the form of the word that's used which meaning is implied, all right? So that's how we know that in some cases this word is meant as to still or to soothe, and in other cases it's meant as to extol or commend or glorify or boast in or triumph in, okay? Now, it's used 11 times in the Old Testament, and it's usually just translated praise, you know, the general word, I will praise you, okay? But sometimes it's translated specifically to commend or to extol or to glory in or to triumph in the Lord. And most of the time it uses a form, most of the time it's in a form which implies great intensity and repetition. Most of the time it's used in a form that implies great intensity or repetition. And so it doesn't just mean to extol or to glorify him, but it means to do it with great intensity and to keep on doing it over and over and over again. That's the picture that it paints. Now, a few passages for your notes where Shabbat is used. It's 1 Chronicles 16:35, Psalm 63, verse 3, Psalm 117, verse 1, and Psalm 106, verse 47. And I just want to mention, this is number D in your notes. There's also an Aramaic version of Shabbat, which you find in the book of Daniel, where it's used 5 times, and it's real similar to the Hebrew word. But in the Aramaic, it means more specifically to laud, to praise, to extol, and to adore. And in the Aramaic, it also uses a form which exists in a form which implies that same intensity and repetition. Over and over and over again, I will laud you and extol you and glorify you because you are incredibly awesome, Lord. And finally, we may shabak the Lord in shouting aloud, We may shabak him in lifting our hands, in clapping, in jumping up and down with all our might, and in many other ways which express the heart attitude which extols and glories in his name. As infinite as God is, he has infinite ways to praise him.